Ephesians chapter 3, and we're looking at what God's divine purpose is or was. What was his purpose in redeeming mankind? Ephesians chapter 3, we can see here in verse 9, it says, "And to make," I'm reading from the King James, "and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the" what? "The mystery which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ." Verse 10 is what I wanted to look at. "To the intent that now, unto" who? "The principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God according to the eternal purpose." This is eternal purpose here. "Which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me read that, because sometimes in the King James it's a little, we don't talk like that today. If you did, I'd think something wrong with you. I'd say, "Ye what?" "Ye, I don't understand you." But let me read this from the New Living. It may read easier. It says, "God's purpose in all this was to use the church," see, "to display his wisdom in its rich variety to all the unseen rulers and authorities in heavenly places." So this was God's intent, to redeem mankind. He sent what? He sent Jesus, who was God in the likeness, that he was the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. But he did what? In Philippians it said he set aside all of his divine privileges, because if he was God, why did he have to be anointed by the Holy Ghost? Because he set aside all of, he was sinless, but he was a man. Because if he wasn't, then he couldn't have, the price had to be paid, because who sinned? Adam sinned. He was a man. So the price had to be paid by a sinless man, which he was. And so here, his intent was to do what? Redeem mankind, and to do what? To bring them back into fellowship and relationship with God. So you can see here, his intention was that he wanted to use his body. He wants to use the body of Christ to display and to unseat or to hold he wants to keep the demons in check, the devil in check, unseen forces in check. They're already defeated, but we're here to do what? Enforce it. So let's continue in verse 12. It says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you," see, this is Paul's prayer to the church at Ephesus, "that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with" what? "With might." That word is dunamis in the Greek. It really just means explosive power. It means the power of God. Demonstrated. Where? By his spirit inside, in your inner person, in your inner being, your spirit. "That Christ may dwell in your hearts." How? By faith. "That you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, and depth, and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, how is that going to be done? According to the power that worketh in us. Hallelujah. So this power is in us, but it's going to be activated by faith. You know, something, and I shared this on Wednesday, we're going to get some, these two books. If you don't have them, they have a small amount left in the bookstore, but these two books right here, if you don't get these, I'm telling you, if you can't afford them, I mean that seriously, if you can't afford them, you see me, I'll buy them for you, because it will change your life. Now, of course, Brother Hagin wrote a book called The Authority of the Believer, sold millions and millions of copies through the years. He got a lot of that revelation from this book right here. This book right here, it's called The Authority of the Believer by John MacMillan. It was out of print. He wrote this book. Let me just read this. I always have to look to make sure. He wrote this in 1932. He was a missionary to the Philippines and China. He has some wonderful stories in here about the power of God working in his ministry. But he also, when he came stateside, he worked for Missionary Alliance, and he was one of the persons on staff right here in NIAC. So you can read about him, and it's just a tremendous book. And he read, and so this other book by Dr. Billy Brim, a little mini book, it's called The Authority of the Believer and How to Use It. But she reads, she was an editor at Rhema Bible School for many years, about over 10 years. But this is a foreword in Brother Hagin's book on the authority of the believer. That's what I'm saying. He got a lot of the revelation from here. He said here, back in the 1940s, I asked myself the question, this is Brother Hagin, I asked myself the question, do we have authority that we don't know about, that we haven't discovered, that we're not using? I had little glimpses of spiritual authority once in a while. Like others, I had stumbled on it and had exercised it without knowing what I was doing. I wondered, is the Spirit of God trying to show me something? So I began to study along this line, think along this line, feed along this line, and I began to see more light. What is that? The entrance of his word? What? Giveth light. So he began to think about it, meditate on it. He began to see a little more. But he said here, an article in the Pentecostal Evangel prompted my study on the words power and authority. Then I came across a wonderful pamphlet entitled The Authority of the Believer by John A. MacMillan. It was just a pamphlet, but of course it went out of print. And he said here that he was a missionary to China and the Philippines who later edited the Alliance Weekly. And then he said here, as a result of my studies, I concluded that we as a church have authority on the earth that we've never yet realized, authority that we're not using. And then he said, you know, a few of us have barely gotten over to the edge of that authority, but before Jesus comes, there's going to be a whole company of believers who will rise up with the authority that is theirs. They will know what is theirs, and they will do the work that God intended they should do. That's his point. He wrote this back in the 40s, and we're still learning. But churches, a lot of churches aren't teaching that. But more are, so we thank God. So here, he's saying here in the New Living Translation, Ephesians 3, he said, 16, I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with what? Inner strength through his Spirit. So it's going to be done by faith. And this strength, this inner strength, is to empower us to do what? Just get us over in life? No, that's part of it. But this inner strength, this power that strengthens us, is to do the work of God and to fulfill his purposes in the earth. Set men free. Drive demons out of areas, your home, your city, your nation. things that come up and cause problems. We're to rise up in authority, not ask God, oh, please help us. No, you rise up and say, leave in the name of Jesus. Because we've been given authority. The body of Christ is operating how? As the head operates through the body. That's what I was sharing before. The head can have a vision. Just like Pastor Clinton and Sarah, they had a vision. But it has to be executed how? Through the body. And sometimes if the body doesn't step up and do it, it delays that vision. And where God is concerned, God is going to get it done. But he's going to have to then look. If you don't, he's going to maybe give it to somebody else who is obedient. And then it's the parable of the talents. Some that had two were faithful, and he gave them more because the one that had one wouldn't do anything with it. So he did what? It says he took it away. And so that's why I say we need to be found faithful in the little things, like it says in Luke, that will be given more. Whatever we're given to do. Amen. So this power, this glory that resides in us is to strengthen us, empower us with resurrection power to do the things of God, to do his work, to do his purposes. Hallelujah. That's exciting to me. What does the scripture say? Ye are of God, little children, for you've overcome them because why? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Greater is he. Man, when you don't feel greater, that's the time to say, I am greater. I am stronger. I can overcome in the name of Jesus. Amen. You have to say it. You gotta release faith. Amen. So let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. You know, as you're turning there, it won't take you too long to get there, so. You just flip the page over. So you're there. So let me share this story. If you don't know where it is, somebody will help you. But when we operate by faith, you know, something that, I was sharing before these two books, but there's another book we're going to get, getting it ordered now. It's by Reverend Doug Jones, who's at Rhema Bible Church, Rhema Bible Training Center. He was over the prayer and healing school for many years, 10, 11, 12 years. And then also he was a teacher. I believe he's still teaching. I'm not sure. Is he still teaching, Mary Lou? Yeah, he's an amazing teacher. In the school, plus he's also the national director of the Rhema Ministerial Association, which is anybody who's been ordained out of Rhema. We didn't go there, but we were ordained by Pastor Hagen. So we are part of that association. But he has a book called Understanding the Healing Power of God. We're going to get this book in here, and I would recommend every person in here get this book. I'm not trying to sell books. I'm trying to help you. Because every one of us needs to know and understand the power of God. And he talks about, in this book, and also he has a CD on it, or a series, that he talks about what Brother Hagen shared when he was here at this church in 1992. He said August 12th, 1992. He was in a crusade here, and he said he ministered to a person, a lady, and then he ministered to a baby that had club feet. And he said that this lady was healed. I believe she was either blind or deaf. And the lady was healed. And then he said to this couple, they brought a little baby. The feet were twisted around. They were club feet. And he said to this couple, he said, if it's any consolation to you, I have a stronger anointing now than I just did by laying hands on this lady who was healed. He said, if there's any consolation, I have a stronger anointing right now. And he said, so I'm just going to lay my hands on his baby's feet and hold it here for a moment. And he did. And he said, when he took his hands away, he said the feet were still the same. Nothing changed. And he said to the couple, he said, keep the switch of faith turned on. Keep the switch of faith turned on. And so then Doug Jones goes into this long explanation of what the switch of faith is. And he said, so many people that I ask say, well, you just keep believing. He said, wrong. Believing what? And he said, you've got to believe first that the power is present. Because he said, you look at Jesus' ministry, he said when he was in Nazareth, he couldn't get but a few sick people healed. And he said, they didn't believe, and they didn't, in the other places, the power of God was present to heal. And they didn't receive. In that case, the power of God was present to heal, and the man who was sick of palsy was lowered down through the roof. And he was the only one that got healed. Because he believed that the power of God was present to heal. And so his point in all of this was, and Brother Hagin said to the couple, keep the switch of faith turned on. What did he mean? He said, believe that the power of God is present to heal and that it's been administered to your baby. And that it's working. Not just, see, he said, there's a difference. You can believe that the power of God goes in you. It's been transmitted. Somebody lays hands upon you, and the power of God goes in you, and you do nothing with it. And he said, therein lies the problem why people get into line after line after line for healing. And he said, they don't believe because nothing happened. They didn't fall down. They didn't feel something. And that's not saying that that's not so. When the supernatural power of God is present, the natural will give way to the supernatural. Something's going to give, and it's going to be the natural. But if you never fell down and you never felt anything, the healing power of God has been administered. Brother Hagin talks about story after story how he believed God and just said, you just lay your hands on me. He never felt a thing. But he believed. So what has happened? So anyways, this couple said when they left that meeting, they took the word that was spoken to them. And they said every day, they would say out loud, I believe that the healing power of God has been administered to our baby, and it's working in it. It's working in our baby. And they said the next time they saw Brother Hagin, the feet were flipped around normal, and everything was normal in that baby because they kept the switch of faith turned on. They believed that the power of God was present. The power of God went into his baby, their baby, and it was what? Working. It was working, working, working. So what does that have to do with being strengthened with might? Same thing. I believe that the power of God is in me and is strengthening me with his might. That's keeping the switch of faith turned on. I've got to believe. I don't feel a thing. But I believe that his power is in me. The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in your neighbor. No, dwells in me. And he's quickening my mortal body. So I've got to believe that he's in me and he's working in me. Regardless of how I feel. Regardless of what I see. I got to believe. This is what we're talking about. Hallelujah. So Ephesians chapter 1. I didn't forget you. We got off on a little example here. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16. Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power. This is this dunamis power, explosive power, to usward who do what? Believe. According to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, where? Far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come. And hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church. Hallelujah. And of course it goes on, the fullness of him, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So this authority is, we're to be what? The representatives of this authority. He did this for the church. Let me read this in another translation here. Hold on a second here. Yeah. Verse 22, in the Amplified, it says, and he has put all things under his feet and appointed him the universal and supreme head of the church, a headship exercised throughout the church. And the voice says, the voice translate, or the New Living Translation, it says, God has put all things under the authority of Christ and has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. It's for our benefit. We're to be exercising his authority. And we need not forget that. When Jesus said, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and in earth, go ye therefore. That means we have some things to do. We have a responsibility. So let's continue. I just want to continue reading here because this is important here. Verse chapter 2. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Means we acted like the devil before we came to Christ. That's all that means. Just a new old English way of saying, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in his mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in the sins, hath quickened who? Us together with Christ, and what? Hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ. Well, I'm here in the earth. I'm not in heaven. But he's saying here from the scripture, God sees us as raised up with him and seated with him in heavenly places, where? In Christ. What does that mean? That means this is authority that's been conferred upon us. This has been authority that's been conferred upon us right here. We're not in heaven, but God sees us seated. This word, really what this means is that we've been made to sit together. We are sharers with his throne. What does that mean? We're sharers with his authority. We're not deity, but we're in him. We've been given authority and we're sharing his authority in the earth. Hallelujah. So verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So we have this unlimited power that's residing in us, and we activate it by faith. We have to believe. This is keeping the switch of faith turned on. We have to believe that it is in us, and we have to believe that it is working. What does 2 Corinthians 4 say? We believed, and therefore what? Speak. So you've got to believe and say it. That's how you activate it. You've got to believe that it's in me, in you, and you got to say it. You got to believe it. You got to believe and say. These are the principles. Amen. That's how it works. Let's take a quick look. I was going to read this excerpt from Rick Renner, but just get the CD. He writes something in his Sparkling Gems. If you have that, you can either load that on your iPad or get a. It's a hard copy book. It's a daily devotional, but he writes in there on May 2nd entry in Sparkling Gems 1 about this position that Christ has taken above all. And it's quite extensive. So I'm not going to take the time to read that. But he writes basically that Jesus is Lord over all. And then he says, and then to conclude that, he said, if that wasn't enough, he said, and then every name that's named, not only in this world, but that's also in that which is to come. Jesus is Lord over all. He's Lord over governments. He's Lord over people. He's Lord over principalities and powers and might. He's Lord over the governments. He's Lord over everything. Yes. He is Lord. And so he does write in here that where the Word of God, and this is where John MacMillan, from his experience and even Brother Hagin's experience, and of course, I've sensed it in just my limited travel, but I've sensed it going into different areas. But this man here writes that where the Word of God is questioned and where the Spirit of God is not honored, the devil gets a foothold. And he said that where you see that demons get a foothold in area, whether it's your home, a city, or a nation, where the Word of God is questioned and the Spirit of God is not honored. He said, but where it is, he's held at bay. He's pushed back. I remember when we first started worshiping up in Pennsylvania at the other campus. I remember one of the services we were at, I was on the stage, and I heard right down in my spirit, the Lord said, he spoke to me and he said, if you will come here and worship me, meaning all of us, I will push back the darkness that's held sway in this area. I remember it like yesterday. So the devil has had some sway or hold in that area. But he said, if you come and worship me, I'll push it back. I'll push it back so that the light will shine in. Certain areas of the country here, you can go out into the Tulsa area where ministries have been established for 40, 50, 60 years out there, the oppression there is different than if you go down into New York City. Why? Because he'd gotten a foothold. But it's changing. There are ministries rising up and saying, you get out of here. You leave. You take your grip off of this city and this area. And we ought not to just sit back, but we ought to do what? Rise up and take authority and command him to leave in the name of Jesus. So we've been elevated with him, to be seated with him, to be sharers with his authority. That's what we've been done. That's the key here. So let's, I want to turn over to, for a few minutes here, let's go over to the book of Colossians, chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, which is similar, but I just also, let's take a look at this for a moment. Colossians chapter 1, and starting in verse 25. And then I'm going to read over into chapter 2 for a little bit. But Colossians chapter 1, verse 25. This is Paul writing to the church at Colossae, and now look what he says here. He says, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you, to fulfill the word of God, even the mystery. Remember, we were talking in Ephesians when we talked about the mystery of God, which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? What is this mystery? It says, which is Christ, what? In you, the hope of glory. Christ is in me. His power is in me. His power is in you. Whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Now look at verse 29. This is the piece that I wanted to look focus on here. Whereunto I also what? It says labor, striving according to what? His working, which worketh in me mightily. That's dunamis power right there. So he's striving, listen to some of these other translations, this is the Amplified. For I labor unto weakness, striving with all the superhuman energy which he so mightily enkindles and works within me. See, he labors in the gospel unto weakness, but he's empowered with the Holy Ghost with strength to do the work. This is the Weymouth New Testament. It says, to this end, like an earnest wrestler, I exert all my strength in reliance upon the power of him who is mightily at work within me. See, sometimes we look at and we say, well, I'm not called to be a minister. Well, we're all ministers. We just have different responsibilities. You could be assigned at home as a mother or a wife and someone who's raising your children and family. You could be a caregiver. You need superhuman strength to do the work. And it's going to come about by his mighty power that worketh in you. No different than somebody who's called to preach and go out and to spread the gospel full time. They need superhuman strength. So don't just think, well, you know, I'm going to try to do this in my own strength. You're going to miss it. You need his ability, his strength. And how are you going to do that? You're going to do it because you believe that the power of God is in me. He's in me. And he's working in me. He's present. And he's working. It's working in me. And you're going to have to say it. Faith is released by what you believe and say. You got to say it. Just like the Lord spoke to me years ago about my finances. He said, if you'll work the word in the area of healing, of finances, like you're working it in the area of healing, you won't have room enough to contain it all. You got to believe and say it, and it'll change something. So the strength that we need is given to us for the purpose of fulfilling his purpose on the earth, whatever that is in our lives. So chapter 2, let's continue. It says, for I would... I'm sorry, let me jump to verse 6. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men and the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. In whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Verse 12, buried with him in what? Baptism. Wherein also ye are risen with him. Now I want you to look at this phrase right here. How are we risen with him? It says, through faith, through the faith of the operation of God. Boy, this is powerful right here. Who hath raised him from the dead? And you being dead in your sins and on the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Now, I want you to look at something. Let's go back to this verse here. It says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. The working here that's indicated is all on the part of God the Father. He's the one that did what? Raised us. He's the one that blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, nailing it to his cross. He was the one, right, that spoiled principalities and powers. Who did? God the Father. So it's he who quickened the saints together with Christ and forgave our trespasses. Sometimes we have this picture that when justice was paid and all sin was paid, Jesus just shook everything off and raised. No, it was the power of God that released him. It was the power of God that raised him and us. It was God the Father that did this. It was the operation of God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So God stripped the authority that the devil had and did what? He handed it to the Son. And then the Son handed it and conferred it upon us. So we are strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. For what purpose? That he may work through us to accomplish his will on the earth. He's working through us by his Spirit. So I would encourage all of us, get these messages, meditate on the scriptures, think about it. Take a little time. If you're running up against things in life, It says, what does the scripture say? I can do all things through Christ who does what? Strengtheneth me. How? By his Spirit. Hallelujah. The power can be present, and it is because it's in you, but you've got to believe that it's there. You know, something that Doug Jones shared on this, going back to this message he shared about healing, he said the power of God can be imparted to you and lie dormant in you because you don't do anything with it. Because you didn't believe, you didn't feel something, you didn't fall down, something didn't happen in your body, so you didn't think you got anything. So you just didn't do anything with the power of God that was released and the healing power. So it lies dormant in you. It's no different if I came over to you and handed you $1,000 bill and you said, praise the Lord, and you stuck it in your pocket and you did nothing with it. Didn't benefit you. So you received it, but then that's where it stopped. You didn't do anything. So you've got to believe that the power is in you. Why? Because he's already there. But you've got to do what? Believe he's working in you. Because it's by faith. Amen. And you'll walk out of these things, and you'll not just walk through successfully the things in your life, but you'll start walking in a level of authority and start taking back the things in your house, in your city. You know, he writes in this book here about all the instances that he came up against back in the 30s overseas in Mindanao, in the Philippines, in China. And just shared, he said, sometimes, he said, people think they got to shout and scream. He said, quietly, he exercised authority in situations where people were arguing. People were fighting one another. And he said, he quietly took authority over that. And he said, it all stopped. It just quieted. I remember a place that I lived here recently, years ago in Nanuet. There was fussing going on. I was in an apartment, and man, I said, I'm not living like this. And I began to use my authority, and it just went, it stopped. It never happened again. And I mean, it had been going on for a while. You know how we do? Well, Lord, another day. No, I ain't going to take this another day. I'm not taking this another day. I'm living here. I don't care whether it's a house or apartment. Don't matter. I'm living here, and I like peace. And I'm not going to have all of this nonsense going on with the devil trying to disrupt my peace. No. So you rise up and say, no, stop in the name of Jesus. And guess what? It did. And I had been tolerating it for a while. And then finally, you know, it's like, you know, I should have had a V8. I should have exercised the name of Jesus. And you're sitting there going, why am I getting myself all wired up over this? Use the name. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities, powers, rulers of darkness. So when you see people, that's what we're here to do. When you see people, you see married people going through having a problem. Don't let them get to the point of divorce. Start taking authority. Intercede for them. Say, in the name of Jesus, I take authority over that's disrupting this family. You see somebody in a family where they're having problems with their children, hook up with their faith. Begin to command the devil to stop affecting this family over here. Or maybe there's something going on in your job. You know how... You know, you get on a job and there's all kinds of goofiness going on jobs. Use your authority. Begin to take authority in the name of Jesus. See, if you don't, your adversary will take place. He will get a foothold in and create havoc, so it'll be a mess where you work. If you tolerate it. See, if you allow it. And I really believe what Brother Hagin said. He said, God's going to hold the church accountable for what goes on in this country, what goes on in this world, and the decisions that are made by people in authority. Because why? Yeah, they made the choice, but we had a responsibility to do what? Pray for them. So we need to use our authority in Jesus' name. Amen. I keep going over these things because I believe it's something that hooks up, and I really do believe this with all my heart, that when Apostle Mike Keyes was here, he started sharing about the role of this church and it being a like a launching place, a forward fire base, he called it. Well, you better not go out into a forward fireplace without some guns. Or you better dig a deep hole. You better know what your weapons are. Spiritual weapons, because here's the thing. That same word, if you look up, you know, Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 10. It says, finally, my brethren, be what? Strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We're to be strengthened with might. But then he goes on to talk about putting on the whole armor of God and so forth. So if you allow things in your sphere of influence, you allowed it. But rise up and say no. And begin to operate in the strength and the might of God. Amen. Praise God. We're going to see a change. And seeing a change is what he said through that word. God wants to do something and use this church. We're not the only one, but he wants to start and initiate some things on this East Coast. And it's going to take prayer, and it's going to take taking authority over the forces of darkness that have held sway in this area and do what? Blind the minds of men and women that think they don't need God. Amen. Whole areas can be gripped by fear and gripped by hate and gripped by sickness. And when we take authority over that and we command it to leave, you'll start seeing changes in areas. Where it'll be almost like, boy, it's nice to go over in this area. It's because the devil's been kicked out. Amen. Father, we thank you today. Thank you, Father, that we're not only just hearers of your word, but we're doers. We commit ourselves to seeking you and to releasing our faith that you live in us and you're strengthening us with your resurrection power. Your explosive dunamis power is not only in us, but we believe it's being released in us and strengthening us for the journey. And we thank you for it, Father, that we are overcomers in this life. And that there is no thing that is greater than the name of Jesus. There's no thing that's greater than the power of God. And we thank you that you're strengthening us with this power to overcome. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Father. Glory to God.